Welcome to Liberated Living Ministries with John and Beverly Sheesby. You are listening to the series Arise Shine. Now with the word, here's Beverly.
What I'm going to share with you tonight, it's a new word the Lord just gave me just this past week, but He's told me to speak about and to exhort the children of God to rise up in their authority. I mean, too many of us are under our circumstances. We're under. I mean, we're not the head. We're the tail. Whoever else is the head, I don't know who it is, maybe your boss, sure enough, it's the enemy. Because he just wants to keep us down and keep us under. And the Lord has laid this word upon my heart to exhort children of God to rise up in your authority. Rise up, children of God. Tomorrow I'm going to talk about rising up in the favor of God, rising up into maturity in Him, and rising up, oh beloved, and come into that place of intimacy with Him. But tonight it's rising up in your authority. And the problem is too many Christians are trying to fight the devil with their hands and fight the devil and trying to kill him and trying to put him down and trying to do what God did 2,000 years ago when Jesus died on the cross. And I want to tell you something. Some of you might know this stuff and you've been walking in it, but there are others here tonight who don't know this stuff. And some of you might know this stuff but have forgotten to walk in it. So this is a word of exhortation. I'm telling you, this is a hoop-hollering, wonderful word. I just got so excited. I mean, the Lord gave me new revelation just in my quiet time this morning as I was just waiting on Him. And I was just going through reading my next reading, and the Lord spoke again to my spirit and confirmed the very word that I'm going to be sharing with you tonight. The first thing we have to know about this, a believer who is fully conscious of the divine power that is behind him and his authority can face the devil and need have absolutely no fear. The problem is we don't know who we are and we don't know the authority that has been given to us, and we don't know the authority that's behind us, that when we stand and we face the enemy, number one, many times we don't even recognize the enemy. I mean, somebody came to me tonight and it just so confirmed what I was speaking on. She said, I've just had, she didn't use this word, but this is what she was thinking. I've had a hell of a day. Have you had a hell of a day? Oh, some of you are so shocked that a preacher would say that. But you know, sometimes you feel like you're having a day straight from hell. It's like the devil is onto everything. I mean, everything's going wrong. Your car's breaking down. You got no money to pay the bills. And it's just like your kids are fighting. Your husband just looks at you mean. And it's like you burnt the rice. And you can't even cook a boiled egg. I mean, everything has gone wrong. And you just come and you're just in a foul mood and you just got PMS written all over you and you're just miserable and you're just like, everybody get out of my way because I'm just mad. Ever felt like that? No, look at you. You're just sitting there so pious. I promise you. Now I should ask your husband, does your wife ever have a day like that? Or is she always the sweet, wonderful? Yeah, we've all had days like that. Whether you want to admit it or not, I know. And because I have had days like that. Until I realized who I was and who was putting that day on my plate. I want to tell you, God said through Jeremiah the prophet that He would never ever turn away from doing us good. So when you have a day like that, I want to tell you that didn't come from God. And if it didn't come from God, who do you think it came from? You are not fighting flesh and blood. You've got to realize this. Your husband is not your enemy. Your wife is not your enemy. Your kids aren't the enemy. Your boss isn't the enemy. Your car isn't the enemy. Your bank balance isn't the enemy. You've got to know that. You've got to realize that we are spirit, soul, and body. But we are so locked into this soul part and this body part, and we forget about the spirit part. And you see, the problem is our bodies control our spirit instead of our spirit controlling our bodies. And so we give in to our feelings. You know, I'm having a bad day. I didn't have much sleep last night. And I saw Joyce Myers do this. It was so good. I love Joyce Myers. Do you ever watch her on TV? And she's just saying how she's been teaching a whole thing on fickle feelings. Have you seen it on fickle? So awesome. And she says, you know, like I'm feeling bad today, so we just worship these feelings. Well, that means I need to go buy myself a new dress. Or I need to go worship at that restaurant and get myself something good to eat because I'm just feeling like I need a treat today. And we just worship our feelings. And you know what? We women are the worst for that. We really are. Now, if my husband was here, he'd be saying, amen. But you know what? I'm learning and I'm growing and I'm maturing in the things of the Spirit. And I mean, he will vouch for me. I promise you, he'll vouch for me on Tuesday night. That is so true. My kids will vouch for me because I'm learning that I don't have to live by how I feel, but I live by what the Word says. And I'm not going to be moved by what I see with my eyes, but I'm moved by what the Word says and what God says about my situation. That's what moves me. And that's where He wants to get all of us to that place. You see, the first thing I've got to remind you about, and this is elementary and this is basic, but sometimes we just got to get elementary and basic. Okay? Because we forget these elementary truths. And one of the elementary truths that Jesus said in John 8:48, He says, the devil, Satan, is a liar and he's a father of lies. So the very first thing you've got to know about the devil is that he's a deceiver. He is the master deceiver. Satan deceives the whole world, Revelation 12 verse 9 says. He is a deceiver. So he comes at you with lies. And I want to guarantee you he's tried to lie to every one of you today. That's how he works. He works in the battleground of your mind. This is where he attacks you. You're useless. You're not powerful. Who do you think you are? You were born on the wrong side of the town. If only you had an education. You're always going to be in debt. You're never going to have a decent car. You'll never get a black Camry like Beverly's talking about. He plagues your mind. And look at your body. You're overweight, or you're too thin, or you're too tall, or you're too big, or you're too small, or who, whatever you are. He puts all this stuff and condemns you. You see, he's a deceiver, and he's a liar. And the deal is, we've got to recognize this as lies. But the problem is, we take this lie, we take what he says, and you know, somebody once said, you can't stop a bird flying over your head, but you can stop him from building a nest in your hair. I'm telling you, that cricket nearly scared the wits out of me last night. There was a cricket that jumped up and landed in my hair. I couldn't stop him from jumping up, but I could surely stop him from making a little nest in my hair. That sucker got out of there fast. I would have jumped on him if I could have. You see, you can't stop the enemy from putting thoughts into your mind. Lustful thoughts, horrible thoughts, jealous thoughts. I mean, the stuff that goes through your mind. You can't stop him from putting it in your mind. But you have got authority to rebuke him and resist that thing and get it out there. You don't have to allow that thought to stay. You see, it's not the thought that's a sin. It's what you do with the thought that becomes the sin. Now, you can go back that up in James. There's a study in James that John does that's so wonderful. But I want to tell you, see, so many young people, and I mean, I've spoken to so many young people, they feel so condemned, they feel like, oh man, I'm such a lustful, horrible thing. They've got all these hormones raging in their body, and the enemy's just putting all these horrible thoughts in their minds, and they just feel so condemned and so useless, and how can I witness to anybody? Because if you saw my thought life, you would just think, I'm the pits, and I belong in the doghouse, and da-da-da-da-da, and I mean, he's got you defeated before you've got out of bed. If only you realize that it's just like the enemy is putting these thoughts in your mind. But it's what you do with those thoughts, whether it becomes a sin or not. Do you see? Because you see, when the enemy puts that thought in, if it bears and it just grows and you allow it to settle and you nurture it and you feed it and you think about it and you think about it and you think about it, it settles down and it gets roots. And before you know it, it's a stronghold in your life. How does it start? With a thought. With a lie from the devil. And you see, when the enemy comes with that lie, he's a deceiver. When he comes with that lie, you've got to say, in Jesus' name, I resist that. I resist that. And you think, but I can't resist it. I mean, it's like, it's just powerful within you. You can resist it. Because the Word says, And the word is absolutely true. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. I mean, that's just the bottom line. You resist him and he'll flee from you. The problem is we go through a whole day of hell and we think, oh, why didn't I resist him at 8:30 when I got out of bed, when I was feeling lousy? Instead, we went through the whole day and we put our kids through a miserable day, our husband through a miserable day, and the enemy smiled. He got you licked. He ate your lunch. Instead of right at 8:30 when you put your foot out the bed saying, thank you, Father, that I'm more than a conqueror, that I stand and I'm the head and not the tail. No weapon formed against me is going to prosper because you love me, Lord, and I bathe myself in your love and I'm clothed in your righteousness. And Lord, I thank you that you're in me and you are the life within me and you're the hope that's within me. Do you see what I'm saying? What a difference. And you turn that negative thing into something positive. And you, all of a sudden, you're just like, whoa, there's so much life in me. Come on, world, I've got you by the tail. Okay. I'm telling you, I'm speaking something that will help you if you'll just listen. The enemy is a deceiver. There's a wonderful illustration of this in Genesis 27. You don't even need to turn there. But it's the story of Esau coming to Isaac for his blessing. You remember that. And Jacob, who is such a type and shadow of the devil, he's a deceiver. He comes to Isaac and he steals Esau, who was the firstborn. He steals his inheritance and he steals his birthright. And you remember Esau going to Isaac and saying, surely, Father, you've just got one blessing for me. And he weeps with a loud voice. And so Isaac gives him this blessing. And this is an amazing blessing. He says this. And by your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. And it shall come to pass, when you become restless, that you shall break his yoke from off your neck. Now this is interesting. That is Genesis 27 verse 40. And it shall come to pass. I want to tell you, this is a word of hope for you. Some of you are sitting here tonight, and you're in lack, you're in poverty, you're in sickness. And the enemy, it seems like he has stolen your inheritance. And he's stolen everything that God wants to give you. The word says, it shall come to pass. Now, whenever I read, when it comes to pass, I have to say, well, what's going to happen to make it come to pass? It hasn't come to stay, okay? It's come to pass. Or pass. You say pass? It's going to pass. It's not come to stay. It's come to pass. Now the devil has told you, you're going to always be poor, and you're always going to be here, and you're always going to be in this, and you're always going to be in lack, and your kids are always going to be rebellious, and there's always going to be trouble in your family. But I want to tell you, he's a liar. And if he's telling you that, get happy, because he's just lied to you. That means the opposite is true. So it's going to come to pass. It's going to pass. It's going to pass. And this is what's going to happen. It'll come to pass when you become restless. Or in the Amplified Bible, it says, when you become restive. That was a word I didn't know. But if you look up the word restive or restless in the dictionary, it says this. In good Texas English, it just says, when you get plain fed up. When you dig your heels in. When you get stubborn. When you just absolutely say that thus far and no further, devil, you're not going to steal my kids anymore. You're not stealing my inheritance anymore. The Lord says, I shall have no lack. The Lord says, he will provide all of my needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. The Lord says that I am healed, and by his stripes I am healed. When you get your heels so dug in the ground and you say, so far and no further, then the yoke, the anointing, the yoke will be broken off of your neck. But I'm telling you, it takes some of us getting mad, getting angry at the devil. You see, we put up with things. You know, we just put up with things. I've just recently moved, and I know how easy it is. I've moved several times, many times, too many times, I think. It's hard work to move. But, you know, I have discovered that when I move and I just put something down, if I don't go and move that thing pretty soon, I won't even notice it's not in the right place. I'll just walk around it. Have you ever noticed that in your life? I took a couple of boxes up to my son in Tulsa. He had left some of his boxes of books and stuff in our home, and seeing we were moving into such a small apartment, we took the boxes up and I put them at the end of his bed in his little apartment where he, you know, he rooms with two other guys. And, I mean, they're at the end of his bed. He would have to walk around those boxes. I said to him, Brad, if I put them in the corner, you'll never unpack them. So I'm going to put them in the middle of the floor so that you kick your toe on them, that you notice it. But you know what happened? A week or 2 weeks later, that little box had become a place where he hung his clothes. He didn't even notice them. He still hadn't unpacked it. You see, we get so used to the enemy putting something in our lives that we just take it as furniture in our life. Well, this is how it's going to be. I mean, I've got a sore toe. I've lived with a sore toe for 10 years. I may as well live for another 10 years. And I've lived in lack, and I've never had anything to bless my kids with for however long, and I'm just, that's just how it's going to be, and that's how it's going to be. And I've never made more than X amount of dollars a month, so I doubt whether I'll ever make more about than that much money a month. And we've just settled for less than our full inheritance. Oh, God, how much He wants to bless His children. He's looking for a people that is just so open to receive all of His blessing. And we're walking around, oh, well, you know, as long as I've got my little ticket to heaven and I'm just so happy I'm going to heaven and I'm so glad I got food on the table, and the devil's lied to us. Well, you should just be glad that you got food to eat and you got a dress to put on today. I'm telling you, that is not God. God is a God of the superabundant, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And He wants to give you more than you need. Not just enough, but more than enough. I heard Jerry Savelle say this. When the children of Israel were in Egypt, they did not have enough. It was a land of not enough. They had to go and find their own straw to make the bricks. It was a land of not enough. And they were slaves in Egypt. Then they get taken out of Egypt and they're put in the wilderness. And in the wilderness, you remember, every day they had to go and collect the manna. And the wilderness is a land of just enough. They weren't allowed to collect more than enough. They had to collect just enough for every day. Because if they collect too much, worms would get in it. So the wilderness is a place of just enough. But I want to tell you, God wants us to step on over the Jordan into the promised land. The land that is running with milk and honey. Into a land of more than enough. And how many of us have got more than enough today? I'm telling you, that's where God wants to take us, to more than enough, so that we've got enough to give to others. I mean, it's not just for us to become fat cats, you know. God wants to bless us, but He wants to make us a blessing to all the families of the earth. That's what it's all about. Because He wants to demonstrate His glory to everybody in this area. It's good. I'm telling you, the enemy has stolen from us. I heard T.D. Jakes say this this past week. I was watching him on a Wednesday night. He does a live Bible study in our area. And he was saying this, you know, when he went to Israel, he said one of the most amazing things to him was this, that the Jordan River is at some places only about 10 feet wide. Isn't that amazing? He said, you know, that's such a picture, that when the children of Israel came up to the Jordan River, in some places it was only 10 feet wide into the promised land. But there were some places that you could have just jumped across. He said, it's such a little thing that will keep us from entering into the promised land of all of our inheritance, the land flowing of milk and honey. And I want to tell you, if you get hold of this truth tonight, this can be like the parting of the Jordan River, where you're going to go on over. You're going to go on over. You're going to go on over. You're going to go into that land of milk and honey. I'm telling you, it's not just for the fabulously rich in West Texas that have got an oil well in their backyard. It's for every single one of God's children. His promises don't say, well, this is only for those in New York. This is only for the ones in America. These are definitely not for the ones in Africa. No, it's for every one of us. His promises are for me, if you will just take them and receive them. But the enemy has lied to us. He's a deceiver. The second thing about him is this. You've got to know the enemy is disarmed and he is powerless. You've got to know that. Now, some of you are saying, hold on, Beverly. He's very powerful. Well, according to your faith, be it unto you. I'm telling you, if I was telling Pastor Kathy this at lunchtime today, I was in a church recently and I heard it with my own ears. And if I hadn't heard it with my own ears, I probably would not have believed it was even said. But the preacher of a large church that I was in stood up and he was giving an invitation and he said, you know, we have an awesome devil and he's been eating your lunch. And if you need prayer, I want you to come forward and we will stand with you. And you know, half the church went forward. And I was sick out of my innermost being. John is standing here and my son Brad is standing here. Out of my innermost being, I started to speak out loud and say, oh no, he isn't awesome. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. No weapon formed against me is going to prosper. Though he come against me as one, he will flee from me in seven. For he is great within me, and it is Christ within me, the hope of glory. I'm telling you, they sort of look at me. And John said, Beverly, be quiet. You know, don't make such a... But it just rose up within me. But you see, we've so believed that the devil is so powerful. And he's a liar. Because you see, what does the word say? And I'll give you some references here. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14 says that Jesus rendered him powerless on the cross. That means he's powerless. He might have a big voice and that's all he's got. It's like a big wrestler walking, coming into the room and they're pushing him in a wheelchair because he can't move his arms and his legs. Now he's got a big voice and his body might look big and powerful, but he is useless because he's paralyzed from the neck down. I'm telling you, the devil is absolutely disarmed and he's powerless. Colossians chapter 2 verse 15 says this, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. He's disarmed them. That means all the devil's got is a toy gun. He might look like a gun. I mean, that's the problem. You know, he points a gun at you and you think, I wonder if it's real or not. Well, let me just tell you, it ain't real. Because the word says he is disarmed. And I'm going to believe the word before I believe anything else. You see, Jesus was so clear about this. It's according to your faith, be it unto you. Now, if you believe the devil is powerful, guess what? He's going to eat your lunch every day. He's going to eat your family. He's going to eat your finances. He's going to eat your body, your health, your car. Things will break. But if you believe, and I'm going to speak about this tomorrow, and I'm so excited about tomorrow's word. I just love it. I'm going to speak about the favor of God because that's what we have. But you see, it's according to your faith. You see, it's one thing to know that God is more powerful. But it's another thing to actually say, he is powerful in me. It's according to your faith, be it unto you. Okay, the third thing about the devil that I need to tell you is this, that he is 99% defeated. Oh, I got you. He ain't. He ain't 99. He is 100% defeated. But you know, that's the problem. We think of him as, well, he's so, I mean, he's, the devil's out there and he's on a leash and God's going, you know. I want to tell you, he's defeated. The devil is defeated. He is under our feet. Now, I'm telling you, he doesn't like it when I preach like this. Because it's the truth that'll set you free, guys and girls. And it's the truth. Now, we can have a major deliverance session and you can all come forward and you can all get delivered of all your boogers and all your demons. But I'm telling you, it's the truth that'll set you free and it's the truth that'll keep you free. It's only the truth. So you need to take the truth and believe it. I mean, get these verses of scripture. Learn them off by heart. Stick them up in your house. I've always got verses of scripture up in my house. I'm filling my mouth with the word of God. When I pray in the mornings and I go walking, I'm praying the word of God. It's the word of God. It's the truth that'll set me free and it'll keep me free. So the enemy is defeated. He's 100% defeated. Romans 8:37 says this, but in all things we are more than conquerors. Yes. You know, if you're a conqueror, you're a conqueror. But he says you are more than a conqueror. That means the devil is under our feet. And that's a good place for him to be. That's the only place for him to be. under our feet. 1 John 4:4, you all know this verse. We have overcome them. John was talking about the Antichrist. We have overcome them because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You know, if you just took that verse, chewed it, dreamt it, slept it, ate it, thought it, spoke it, believed it, let it run through your mind over and over and over again. And you know, do you have cows out here? You have cows. You all know what a cow is. But have you ever watched a cow regurgitating and chewing on its cud? You know how it'll, I don't know what time a good farmer would be able to tell me. A cow will eat and then he'll go and sit under the trees, usually in the cool of in the afternoon when it gets too hot, and he'll just regurgitate and he'll chew, and he just chews like he's got a big ball of gum, and he just chews and he 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 swallows and he chews and he chews, and out comes wonderful milk or beef or whatever it is, it comes out of him. But I'm telling you something, that's what we need to do with the Word of God. We need to take that Word and put it like Moses said to Joshua, put it like a thing that hangs between your eyes. You can't even look anywhere, and that Word of God is within you, and it's right here. So that, I mean, how did Jesus resist the devil in Matthew 4? Through the Word. It was like when the enemy came against him, he said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." And he quoted back the Word of God. How are you in the world going to resist the devil if you don't have the Word within you? And, I mean, you just take that little verse, "Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world." That's enough to have revival on right there. It is. Because he is under our feet. But you see, we forget it. We need to be speaking it one to another. Husband and wife need to be speaking it one to another. I need to be speaking it over my kids. I mean, I spoke to my kids today. I reminded them. Tracy has had some little issue. And they were going to take the Lord's Supper tonight, she and her husband. And I said, yes, they're going to remind the devil who they are, and they are covenant-bought children of the living God, and he may not touch them. You know, whenever John and I have had an issue in our lives, say finances, for example, we've got a shortage of finances. I mean, the first thing we do, take the Lord's Supper. The first thing we do, we just get the bread and the wine, and we just, sometimes it's iced tea and just a piece of cracker. Sometimes it's whatever we've got. Sometimes we're sitting in a restaurant and the Lord will just impress us to take the Lord's Supper and remind ourselves, remind God, and remind the devil of who we are and how great our God is. Isn't that good? I'm telling you, some of you have got an issue in your body. Take the Lord's Supper every single day. Why not? Remind yourself that greater is he that is in me, that the blood of Jesus avails for me, that by his stripes I was healed 2,000 years ago. And I thank you, Lord, that every need is met in you. Do you see what I'm saying? Remind him. Remind yourself. Get strong in the Word. Get strong in the Word and the strength of his might. Oh, I don't know. I'm getting happy just preaching this. It just blesses me. It's wonderful. So many people are trying to fight the devil in their own strength, and they don't know their position and their authority. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to read a few verses there. I love this because, man, if you just get hold of this truth, this will bless you too. Ephesians chapter 1, have you found it? Okay, we're going to start reading. Oh, I just love all of this. I don't even know where to start. Okay, let's just start in verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. The Amplified Bible says it this way. The eyes of your heart being flooded with light. Isn't that good? Flood your heart with light, that you might know and understand and comprehend what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in you, the saints? You know, so often I thought of that verse and I thought it's him saying, well, it's our inheritance in him. No. Do you realize that God has got an inheritance in you? He has placed an inheritance in you. And the word says, how rich is that inheritance that's within me? And he's coming back for that inheritance. He's coming back to receive me as his bride. Glory to God. I love it. Okay, how rich is that glory of his inheritance in the saints? Verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? Verse 20. When he worked in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he raised us up together and made us sit together with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now look at verse 20 of chapter 1. And I want you to just, in my Bible, I've just drawn a little line between verse 20 of chapter 1 and verse 6 of chapter 2. In verse 20 of chapter 1, it says that Christ was raised from the dead and he is seated with him in heavenly places. In chapter 2, verse 6, it says, we have been raised together with him and we are seated with him. So guess where we're seated? In heavenly places. I love it. That's where we're seated. I wish there was a big table here or something. I'd just jump right on top of it. Because you have got to know that I don't have to wallow in what the stuff the devil hands out to me every day. But I am seated with him in heavenly places. Far above all principalities and powers and dominions and all those that stuff that the enemy wants to throw along. I'm far above. I'm telling you. And we got to live that, not just when we come to church. We've got to live it in our homes. We've got to live it when our husband is being miserable and when he hasn't picked up his clothes and the kids have made a big mess in the house. I'm telling you, I'm far above. And I've just got to see that I'm not fighting or wrestling flesh and blood, but I am fighting and I'm wrestling in the spirit realm because I'm far above. And I'm seated with him in heavenly places. Oh, I love it. And so we're to exercise that authority over the devil and enforce his defeat. You see, he has given us that authority and we are just to enforce that defeat. Because if the devil can lie to you and tell you that, well, you're not, I mean, if you had faith like Oral Roberts or Benny Hinn or Billy Graham or I don't know, whoever you want to just talk about, I mean, you know, whoever you think you're, if I could just be like them, I want to tell you something. If you are in Christ, then the same authority that God gave to Christ, Christ gave to you. And you have it. Now, it's not just good enough to know about it. Now, if you don't know about it, well, then, of course, the enemy can eat your lunch. But if you know about it and you do nothing about it, he can still eat your lunch. You got to know about it and you got to do something about it. You got to do both. You got to know. And so today, tonight, I'm teaching you the truths of the word. But you not only got to know it, you got to start doing it. Now, I can't be with you every single day and just hide in your cupboard. And when the devil comes out, I jump out the cupboard and say, hold on, resist the devil, resist the devil. No, no, no. You got to get that so deep within you that you smell him a mile off, that you know when it's the enemy, and that you don't wait for a whole day to go by before you resist the devil and he flees from you. You got to get onto it. I'm telling you, this is such an important day that we're living in. I know the Lord is coming back soon. And he wants a great harvest. I mean, this place should be full. Why isn't it? Because we Christians are walking with our heads hung down. Our mouths are shut. We're too scared to even tell anybody we're Christians. I mean, you know, we go into a place and they blaspheme and we don't even say anything. We don't have to rebuke them, but we can just love them, bless them. Speak the grace of God upon them. Let your voice be heard. Let your light stand and shine. And you see, the enemy has got us so looking at our belly buttons. You know, your belly button, you call it a belly button. And we're digging for dirt in that belly button. I mean, some of you, I know you haven't seen your belly button for a while. But it's like the devil saying, well, look at you. You got mad at your wife yesterday and you had those bad thoughts and you better not open your mouth to witness because look at you. You didn't tithe last month and you haven't given and you da-da-da-da-da and you cheated on your income tax and see, the enemy's got us looking at our belly buttons. And as long as he's got us looking at our belly buttons, we are absolutely useless to the kingdom of God. I'm telling you. I'm speaking the truth, folk. And if you will hear me, you will be helped. Because you see, you've got to realize that we are the righteousness of Christ in God. That He has clothed us with His righteousness. And yes, I sin. But guess what? When I sin, I have an advocate. I can come boldly to the throne of grace and I obtain mercy. And just when I've sinned, I can say, oh God, forgive me, and the blood of Jesus cleanses me and washes me from all sin, and I'll rise up again and I'll walk again. And I don't have to stay down. Oh Lord, help us to see this, Father. Help us to see this. Help us to rise up in that authority. You see, we've got to rise in all that God has given us. We've got to rise and inherit our inheritance and take it with both hands and not allow the enemy to steal from us another day longer. I love this illustration that I heard from Kenneth Hagin Sr. Listened to a tape of his, and he told this illustration of one time he was praying and the Lord gave him a vision. And the Lord was just speaking to him. He was in the kitchen and he was praying, and the Lord just began speaking to him, and all of a sudden a dark cloud ascended so that he couldn't see Jesus' face anymore. And this dark cloud was, but he could still hear his voice. And then a little devil, little demon, about 3 foot tall, came between him and Jesus, and he was screeching at the loud pitch voice, yickity yick 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 yick, yickity yick yick yick, yickity yick yick yick, just screeching in this harsh, shrill voice. Now he not only could not see Jesus, but he also couldn't hear him. And he's thinking to himself in his mind, Jesus, why don't you do something about this stupid devil? Because I'm trying to hear you and I can't hear you over this yickity yick yick yick, yickity yick yick. I mean, it was just shrill, it was ear-piercing, it was so irritating. And out of his spirit, all of a sudden, Kenneth Hagin says, he just said, shut up in Jesus' name. And this little devil just rolled over and lay shriveling like this. And he says, not only shut up, but get out of here in Jesus' name. And that devil just ran out of the door. And then he turned to Jesus and said, Jesus, why didn't you do something about that devil? And Jesus said this to him, if you hadn't done something about the devil, I couldn't. And Kenneth Hagin said, no, Jesus, you mean you wouldn't? No, Jesus said, I couldn't. You see, if He's given you the authority, He lets you do what He's called you to do, He's not going to do. And He has told you to resist the devil. I mean, I hear these people praying, Lord, I pray that you will just resist the devil. You know what? That is not going to, that's not worth a hill of beans, as they say in West Texas. It's not worth anything. That is idle chatter. And Lord, I bind the devil. That is idle chatter. Don't pray to the Lord to do it. And Lord, please. And you go to somebody and you say, you know, the devil's really trying to get at me. Will you pray for me that the Lord will just protect me from the devil? You know, anybody saying that to me, I already know the devil's got their lunch anyway. And they don't know who they are. And nor do they know the word of God that says you resist the devil and he will flee from you. God is not going to do what He's told you to do. Now this may come as revelation to some of you. Some of you are going to have to change some of your praying. But I'm telling you, God is not going to do what He's told you to do. And if He's told you to resist the devil, then you resist him. And how do I resist him? I just say, shut up in Jesus' name and go to hell. I mean, get mad at him. I mean, I hate the devil, don't you? I can't stand it when he messes with my kids. I can't stand it when he messes with my finances. It drives me crazy. I kick him in the teeth. And I'm not ashamed. I'm telling you, I'm a mad woman when I walk. I walk today around the school yard at 5 times, and I'm just praying. I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. I'm resisting the devil. I rebuke the enemy. I mean, I knew there was something that was coming against me last night and coming against this meeting. I kicked the devil so hard in the teeth, he was sorry he ever tried. And that's not because I'm anything. But I'm just telling you, that's what he's called all of us to do. And it's time for us to rise up. And the new baby Christian, 5 minute old in Jesus, you've been given that same authority. And it's time for you to rise up. Have you ever seen a policeman? The other day I was in Tulsa last weekend, and I'd come to a stop street, a stoplight. And some policemen came by, and although the robot, or we call it robot, the stoplight was green, The policeman stood there and held out his hand, and there was a funeral procession going to go by, you see, so we all had to stop. He just held out his hand and he said, stop. Guess what? I was in the front of the line, but I stopped. Now, could I have gone? Yeah, I could have gone, but I would have got a ticket. There is no way that that policeman holding out his hand to me could keep my car back if I chose to go. But I knew that all of the state of Oklahoma was behind that badge that he wore on his jacket. I knew that the whole of the United States was behind his authority. And I would be a fool to try and push him over and run him over just because I want to do what I want to do. Do you see what I'm saying? When you know who it is that's given you that authority, and it's so big within you, and you know what authority you stand in. You're not standing in your own authority. That policeman, if he'd been dressed as a plain, ordinary Joe Tom standing in the thing holding out his hand, I wouldn't have listened to him. But because he had a uniform on, and I recognized him as the authority in the situation, guess what? I obeyed what he said. And I want to tell you something. When you know it, and when you know it so deep within you, when you've chewed on it, and you've believed it, and you've stood with it, and when that word is so deep within you, that all that authority that was given to Jesus has now been given to me, and it's like he is going to back me every time I come to resist the enemy. I'm telling you, the enemy is going to flee from you. He's going to flee from you. And you don't even, it's not even a second thought. It's not even have to think, well, I wonder if he will or if he won't. I wonder if it'll work or not. I mean, it's a done deal because that authority is behind you. Now, let me tell you something. That policeman, I guarantee you, whether he's got flu and he's sneezing and he's lost his voice and he can't even think straight, he gets out there in the middle of the road and he doesn't feel like it. He didn't feel like going to work today. But he just went like this and I stopped. You see, we cannot live by our feelings. There are days that you get up and you feel snivelly and you feel little run down, you haven't had as much sleep the night before, and you just don't feel like you've got much anointing to stand against the devil. Your feelings have got not a single thing in the world to do with it. It's got everything to do with the Word of God. It's got everything to do who's behind you, who has given you that authority. Do you see what I'm saying? He has given you that authority. I mean, the state of Oklahoma gave that policeman that authority to stand in the middle of the road and hold his hand up, and everybody stopped. 100 cars behind me, everybody stopped. Now that same authority has been given to us. Now you see, it's the truth. I can just see little light bulbs going off in your brains right now. It's like, whoa, yeah. Hey, shucks, I am somebody. I don't have to be running to the preacher all the time when I have a bad day. But yes, he is within me. Christ, the living God, is within me. He's given me that authority. I wear that badge of his authority that when I tell the devil to go, guess what? He has to go because he recognizes that I know who I am, and I know that he is defeated, and I also know that he's under my feet and he better obey. Isn't that good? I mean, does that help you? I mean, I love it. That's a wonderful truth. Because that is the Word of God. And we got to get over from this little wimpy thing. Well, I feel sick today. I don't feel too good today. I'm telling you, it does not matter what your hormones are telling you. Don't believe everything you feel. Don't believe it. Believe what the Word says. But it also means you've got to know what the Word says. So take some of those verses, write them out, stick them up in your car, stick them up in your house, learn them off the heart. Go back to Sunday school, learn what they say and what they mean. Chew on them. There's no shortcut to this, is there, Sister Kathy? There is not. I'm telling you, every day there is no, I want to tell you, if you want to be used by God in this day and age, it's going to take a little bit of sweat, okay? It's going to take you getting in the Word. It's going to take you setting your heart and drawing nigh unto Him because He wants to draw nigh to you. I'm telling you, God is looking for a people. He's looking for young people who will just take Him at His Word and say, yes, Lord, I'm going to be that person. I'm going to be that Joshua who will take the promised land. I'm going to be that Caleb that will say, give me that mountain even when I'm 84 years old. God is looking for people who are serious about the things of the Spirit. You know, it's submitting yourself to Him. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Matthew 28 and verse 18 through 20. We're going to read these verses. And I'm nearly through. Here, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples, verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." And immediately he turns around and gives it to them. He says, "All authority is given to me. Now you go. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. For lo, I am with you always." So he gives you, and that word authority can also be translated power. All power and authority has been given to me. Now I'm just giving it to you. Some of you have not been showing up for action. I'm telling you. I hope there won't be one person here tonight that won't show up for action again. That you will show up for action, I should say. That you will show up for action from here on out. He's given that authority to Jesus, and Jesus has given that authority to me. All right, turn over to Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. Jesus immediately delegated that same authority in the earth to the church, and he said, "Go. Just go." Okay, verse 15. "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, and he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak new tongues. They will take up serpents, and they will drink everything that is deadly, and it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." Isn't that something? Immediately, Jesus gives us authority over all the works of the devil. We've been given that authority. All right, turn to James chapter 4 and verse 6. James is off to Hebrews, in case you're wondering. James chapter 4 and verse 6. Sometimes it's just good to see that verse as well as to hear it read. It's chapter 5 and verse 9. It says, well, verse 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, therefore, steadfast in the faith." We got to resist him. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You are the one who's got to resist the devil. All right, 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. Oh, that's just what I read. I was in, no wonder. James 4 says this, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." 1 Peter 5, 8 says, "Be sober and vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion walking around seeking whom he may devour." And then 1 Peter 5, verse 9 says, "Resist him steadfast in the faith." God does not intend for you to wander around aimlessly in lack, in sickness, in depression, having a bad day, just putting up with whatever is dealt you. He intends for you to have an overcoming life and an abundant life. In fact, Romans 5 verse 17 says, "We are to reign as kings in life through the one man, Jesus Christ." A king reigns. And Paul says in Romans, we are to reign as that king. That's how we're to reign. And some of us haven't been reigning. We've just hardly showed up for the battle. And we've just been under there, you know, under the circumstances, under everything the enemy can put out, and we're to be reigning as kings. Well, I just asked the Lord this question. I said, "Lord, what is it that keeps us then from reigning?" And he told me four things. He said this, first of all, we don't know who we are. So many of us here tonight, perhaps you've learned tonight of who you are. The second thing is we believe the lie the devil has told us. Everything that's come into our mind, we thought, well, I'm just thinking that thought. No, the devil put that thought in your head. You've got to really know that. You think, oh, must be such a terrible person because look at me, I'm just thinking these horrible, mean, jealous, critical, judgmental thoughts. And the devil says, yes, aren't you terrible? You are just so bad, da 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 da. And he just puts it on you. And you've got to recognize that the enemy put that thought in your head. And you've got to resist the devil. And the Bible says he'll flee from you. And so you've believed the lies that he's put in your mouth and put in your head. And you've just taken them and believed them and thought, yeah, I thought that and that's me. And yes, I am a miserable old wretch and I'll never amount to much, because that's what my father told me when I was 3 years old. You'll never amount to much. And guess what? I haven't amounted to much, because we've believed the lie of the devil. The third thing is, we've still got a whole bunch of grave clothes binding us. Do you remember the story of when Lazarus was dead and he was in the tomb, and Martha and Mary, you know, they'd called for Jesus, and he'd come 4 days after Lazarus. Lazarus was good and dead. He was stinketh already. The Bible said he stinketh. And you remember Jesus came to the tomb and he called with a loud booming voice, Lazarus, come forth. And you remember Lazarus came out of that tomb leaping and jumping and he came out of that tomb bound, the Bible says, hand and foot. John calls it the sepulchre shuffle. He was like this. He was bound, hand and foot. He had resurrection life in him. The resurrection life that was in Jesus was now in Lazarus, but he was bound, hand and foot. And you know, that's kind of what we dealt with last night. Getting rid of the stuff from the past. Getting over the hurts and the wounds of the past. Getting over the rejection. I mean, I'm telling you, it took me so many years to get free from that bondage of rejection. The fears that so easily bind us up. The sicknesses, the poverty, the lack mentality. All of the stuff that so bound us. We got these grave clothes and we just, instead of being leaping and rejoicing and praising God, full of that resurrection life that's within us, we like this. I'm trying to serve God, but boy, I'm so full of bitterness and anger and so full of hurt, and I'm so scared somebody else is going to hurt me, and I'm just... And we're bound hand and foot. It's time for us to get all of those grave clothes off so that we can release and express the glory of that resurrection love that is within us, that has got to come out of us. And the fourth thing the Lord told me was this: we haven't taken up the sword. This was an insight the Lord just gave me this morning in my quiet time. I was reading in Revelation. I just started reading Revelation, and Revelation 1:16, when John is talking about, you know, the vision that he saw of Jesus, and that how his voice was that of many waters, and in his hand there were seven stars, and then he says, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And then in chapter 2 and verse 16, when he was talking to the church of Pergamon, I think it was, and he says, you need to take care of this issue that he was talking to them about. And then he says in verse 16, because if you don't, I will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. The sword of my mouth. Perhaps you've seen that before. I had never seen that before. But let me tell you something. You know how you fight the devil? With the sword of your mouth. It's not only the word of God in your mouth, but it's the sword of your mouth. Isn't that something? I'd never seen that before. I just never seen it. I mean, you check it out and you go look it up in the Bible. I mean, it's the sword. This is the sword. How do I fight? I fight, this here, right here, this mouth. It's my tongue. It's the word of God in my mouth. It's the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God in my mouth, but it's also the sword of my mouth that I fight the enemy, that I cut off the head and the tail and I chop him up in little bits pieces. But it's the word of God in my mouth. Have you ever noticed how sometimes when you get to praising God, it's like, there's a war going on right here in his mouth. I mean, it's like you just can hardly speak, feel stupid, you think. Especially when you're at home and you just, you know, you just don't feel like it. And you're just kind of having a bad day and you just got the morbs and you're just gloomy. And it's the hardest thing to say, the Lord says, I will rejoice and be glad. And therefore, I will praise you, Lord. And it's so hard. It's like there's a war going on with your mouth. It's like you can't see, the enemy is after our mouths. And if he's got our mouths, guess what? He's got us. And so we get to speaking doom and gloom, and I'm just sick and tired of this, and I'm sick and tired of that, and we speak sickness on ourselves, and we speak lack, and we speak poverty, and we curse our husbands, and we curse our kids, and we curse ourselves, and we speak negative, and you know, we can just expect to have a terrible this, and a terrible economy, and da-da. And I mean, we just speak all this negative, and guess what we're doing? You see, this is a weapon. And Proverbs tells me it's either for good or it's for evil. Our words are either for good or they're for evil. And it's your choice. It's your choice. Am I going to use my mouth as a sword of God to kill the enemy? Or am I going to use it to promote His work on this earth? Kind of a serious question. But I'm telling you, this is where we fight the enemy. We fight him with our mouth. We fight him with our mouth. It's the sword of God. It's the sword. It's the word of God. Not just in your mind. Now you might say, well, I think and I meditate upon the word. I'm telling you, it's got to come out of your mouth. You've got to get loud. You've got to get vocal. You've got to speak it out loud. Anybody watching me walk will think, he has lost a few marbles. But you know, I just don't even care. Because you see, when I've got some issue that I'm dealing with in my life, I get vocal. And I speak it out. And I really don't care what anybody sees or thinks. I'll never see them again and they can think I'm balmy. But guess what? I'm walking in victory. And I am more than a conqueror. Because of He that is within me. But it's got to be the word, the sword of God in your mouth.
This is the conclusion of this message. You have been listening to the ministry of John and Beverly Sheesby. For more information on this and other available teachings, please visit our website at www.liberatedliving.com. God bless you and thank you for listening.